Toronto. Welcome back to the D-Lord NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the online leading provider of audio and video content. I am your host, Devin Lloyd, and today is your episode for Monday, October 15th. We are just one day away, everyone, from the start of the 2018-2019 NBA season. I cannot wait. I am beyond excited, but we did have to cover some stuff that happened over the weekend. No games, of course. So we did get deprived of basketball. But like I said, the start of the regular season is literally right around the corner. Now, one thing that happened on Friday right after the show, right before we posted the show, I did talk about it on the YouTube channel. So if you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel at DLloydNBA, where we keep you up to date on all the latest transactions and news around the National Basketball Association. But one thing that we didn't talk about here on the podcast was Joakim Noah. Now, I made a ton of videos, talked about on Twitter about how Noah will be waived at some point last week. It ended up happening on Friday. He did officially get waived by the New York Knicks. So, of course, they used the stretch provision, which means they're going to have to pay about $6 million for the next three seasons starting next year. They do have to pay him his salary this year, of course. So they still owe him $38 million, but they did officially waive him. He's going to go through waivers. He should complete waivers. I doubt any team will actually claim Joakim Noah at all. So once that happens, he will become an unrestricted free agent, free to sign with any team in the NBA. The Minnesota Timberwolves, a lot of people try to make that connection. Tom Thibodeau and the Timberwolves came out and said, at this time, they are not interested in Joakim Noah. Definitely makes sense. They don't have the roster space for Noah at the time anyway. So they're not interested in him right now. It could be a possibility later on. But for right now, they are not interested in Joakim Noah. Now you start looking around the league, you start trying to figure out where could Noah go. He's 33 years old. We haven't seen him play since January. But he's still a somewhat productive player at times. Of course, his big issue was nobody thought he was worth $72 million when he signed that four-year $72 million deal in 2016. That was the question. It really wasn't, can Noah play in the league? It was just, are you willing to spend that type of money on Joakim Noah? So now, realistically, you're looking at a veteran minimum for Noah when you look around the league and you look at teams that need a center. And there's one that clearly comes to mind, a team that has technically three centers on the roster, but realistically you have one, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers. So a lot of people are now starting to make that connection that maybe Joakim Noah could be a Laker. Do you like that fit of Joakim Noah being a Laker? If you're looking for a backup player, Noah is perfectly fine, and he's perfectly fine with coming off of the bench. We know last season he was disgruntled about his playing time. So he has to be perfectly okay and perfectly fine with coming off of your bench. Currently, the Lakers have JaVale McGee as their starting center. Mo Wagner will eventually go into that role as the backup center. But for right now, the backup center is Kyle Kuzma. And Kuzma is either a small forward or a power forward. You put him at those two positions. You don't really put him at power forward and center. You don't really want those two positions to go hand in hand. Now, looking at the rotation for the Lakers and seeing Kuzma on the court, he is capable of playing center. But like I say continuously, I only like that lineup for small bursts. When you're playing teams like the Golden State Warriors, who also go small at times, it can make sense for you to go with that lineup also, because Kuzma can hold his own at the center position against smaller players. But in the Western Conference, when their center's clearly bigger than Kyle Kuzma is, you probably want a more traditional big man. Of course, perfect world, you can still get one that can stretch out the court, but you still want a traditional big. They could just be down there, have a presence in the paint, be able to knock down some rebounds. That's what you kind of want. Mo Wagner, we're hoping he could step into that role, but of course we have not seen him yet in preseason, still dealing with that injury. So for the Lakers, you start looking around and maybe Joakim Noah does make some sense. if he's willing to come off of the bench. If he does not mind not playing more than 20 minutes per game, you could get Noah to come off the bench for you. And that is definitely a connection that most people are trying to make. Of course, I think Noah is going to take some time. I think it'll be about 2 weeks at least before Noah actually signs with the team. I think even a team like the Lakers are going to look at the current roster, allow them to play for a week or two before they decide whether or not they need another player. I don't think Noah is one of those guys that you jump at immediately as soon as you get the opportunity to get him. You just look and see what you currently have. You give them a chance to show that, hey, you don't need Noah. And then you do it. You still look around the rest of the league. Not a lot of options for Joakim Noah at this point. So I think he'll definitely be a late add to a roster. I don't think it'll be anytime soon. Do think it'll be a couple of weeks. But the Lakers are a team to look out for. Especially if they're trying to win now and you don't have that backup center. You may want to lock one down. And that could definitely be Joakim Noah. So that'll be interesting. Cuts happen on Saturday. Some teams start making the cuts on Friday. And has some very, very interesting ones. The Philadelphia 76ers, they waived veteran center Emeka Okafor. Wasn't too shocked by that one, but they did decide to go ahead and release him. They also released Corey Jefferson. They also released Darren Johnson. For the Pelicans, they released veteran point guard Jarrett Jack. I thought he would make the final roster. He did not make the final roster. So he ended up being released. The Golden State Warriors end up releasing former Phoenix Suns point guard, former University of Kentucky point guard Tyler Ulis. He did get released, but he was immediately claimed, did not go through waivers. He was claimed by the Chicago Bulls, who have signed him to a two-way deal. So he's not a full-time guaranteed player, but he is with the Chicago Bulls. I think that is a great pickup for the Bulls. Tyler Ulis is going to get knocked because of his size, but I like his game, and I do think he can contribute to a team in the NBA. As long as he's not your full-time guy, I think he's definitely going to help contribute to that call. So I do like the pickup by the Bulls going after Tyler Ulis. They did give him a two-way deal. Now, a team who was still looking for a point guard after releasing Tyler Ulis and a couple other point guards, the Phoenix Suns. You look at the team last season, you had Elfrid Payton. He is gone. He had Brandon Knight. He is gone. He had Tyler Ulis. He is gone. Phoenix Suns don't have a reputable point guard, to say the least. They do have some guys on their roster who could potentially do something, but they don't have anybody that strikes any type of fear whatsoever in the opposing team. And they don't have a point guard that just gives even a fan some type of confidence that the ball is going to be in the hands of somebody they could trust night in and night out. But it looks like they are going out and trying to get one. After failing to be able to make a trade before the start of the season, they have offered a contract to veteran Jamal Crawford. Now, this is definitely interesting. Jamal Crawford, we all know, is probably the top free agent still available out on the market. Hasn't signed with the team. Hasn't really garnered a lot of offers from teams, but a lot of teams do have him on their radar. Jamal Crawford is a proven vet. We know what Crawford could do out there on the court. Now, do you want him as your every single night starting point guard? If you're the Suns, you probably take it at this point. So they did offer him a veteran minimum $2.4 million deal. There's no word right now if he's going to sign or not. That is definitely going to be interesting to watch moving forward. But if you could get Jamal Crawford for the Phoenix Suns, I think that is a very, very good get for you. Because it's going to be hard for you to trade for a point guard when teams know you need a point guard this desperately. The asking price is going to be high. And for the Phoenix Suns, who are going to be a lottery team, you don't want to get rid of that first-round pick. It's not like you have a back-end first-round pick. You're a title contender or a team that's going to make the playoffs, and you're looking at that pick looking in the 20s. You're in the lottery. Your pick may very well be a top-10 draft pick. You don't want to give that up just to add a point guard for right now. So if you could get Jamal Crawford, that is absolutely huge in a bunch of different ways. I think out there on the court, having a playmaker like that who can get hot, who can score alongside of Devin Booker, and a DeAndre Ayton who's been looking very, very solid this preseason. I think that would be a very good fit for the Phoenix Suns. I think the Suns, and I keep saying this, the Suns are going to be a problem in a few seasons. Of course, not now. They still have some growing to do. They still have to, you know, get battle tested. But you just look at the roster and you look at the foundation there in Phoenix and you look at what could be a massive hit with DeAndre Ayton going first overall, paired up with Devin Booker, who we know is a stud. We know Devin Booker could ball too, and he wants to win. He has that Kobe Bryant mentality. He's going to go out there. He's going to do what he can to win. Josh Jackson still in that wait and see mode, but we know he could play defense. If he could start scoring a little bit more consistently, he could also be a very solid contributor. But the main pieces is Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. You can start plugging around talent around that. You can have a very good roster for years to come. But right now, they did offer Jamal Crawford just a one-year deal. Veteran minimum, $2.4 million. We'll see what happens. Of course, the interim general manager is James Jones. I think he will end up becoming the actual GM soon. I think James Jones is going to be the eventual hire for Phoenix. But right now, he is the interim GM. I think Jamal Crawford will definitely be a very, very good fit. Staying in the Western Conference before the season begins, Draymond Green did make a preseason debut on Friday in the loss of Lakers. Looked okay out there on the court, and it looks like he will start the season on limit restrictions. So they will have minute restrictions, for Draymond Green when they tip off. So it's a good sign for Golden State that he's back. Of course, for Golden State, their main priority is just simply being healthy heading into the playoffs. They're not trying to rush back DeMarcus Cousins. They're not trying to rush back Draymond Green, who we know will be back fully in just a short amount of time. But they just want to be as healthy as possible. And for a team as stacked as Golden State with five All-Stars on the starting lineup, you could afford for two of them to be out and you still have a roster better than just about every single team in the NBA. So Draymond Green will be on a minute restriction list to start off the season. I'm assuming he will still get the start, but don't expect him to be playing 30 plus minutes per game until he gets all situated. Still probably the last story we have in the Western Conference. Going to talk about Jimmy Butler once again. He did practice with the Timberwolves on Sunday. He also met with the owner, Glenn Taylor, who took the commute down there in Minnesota to talk to him. And from what we're hearing is they have a understanding. Now, what does that mean? It means that we're still going to trade you at some point. But it also means that Thibodeau wants you here. He thinks we need you to compete. We're going to pay you. You're going to take this paycheck. You're going to play. That's basically the understanding that we are hearing, or what we think is basically happening. For Minnesota, it just makes sense. You don't want a lot of news. You don't want a lot of turmoil to start coming up in the media, because the media will definitely take it and run with it. You don't want it to look as dysfunctional out there as it probably is behind the scenes. So everybody's been doing their part. Jimmy Butler, he's been saying, hey, my issue just been with management. If I'm here, I'm going to play. You even have Andrew Wiggins, who just came out and said, Jimmy Butler is somebody that you want on your team. We know how Andrew Wiggins truly feels about Jimmy Butler, but it looks like they're all coming out now. They're saying the right things. They're getting ready for the first game. They didn't look good in preseason. We don't know if you can contribute that to Jimmy Butler not playing, or it just simply being preseason. But Jimmy Butler will be there opening night for the Timberwolves. He will be suited up. We're assuming he will get the start. We're assuming he will be playing regular minutes. I don't think there will be any restrictions whatsoever on Jimmy Butler when they play on Wednesday. And that's definitely going to be a good move for the Timberwolves. I think this is the best decision for them. If you're going to keep Jimmy Butler, put everything behind you. Try to trade him quietly. You still have to assume they're going to trade him. I don't see Jimmy Butler being there long term. So you don't allow him to leave and you get nothing back in exchange for that. So you still try to move him. You want him to play well. You want to get some wins and you want his value to move up in the trade market so you can move him before the trade deadline and you can get as much back as possible. So that is pretty much everything that we have for today. Like I said, not a lot of news, but we are literally a day away from the start of the 2018-2019 NBA season. If you would like to stay connected, please go ahead and follow me on Twitter at DLoydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. And if you want to stay up to date on all the latest news, transactions, rumors going around the National Basketball Association, go ahead and follow our YouTube channel at DLoydNBA. We're still trying to get to that 30,000 subscribers. So every subscription definitely counts. So if you'd like to do that, please go ahead and do that. It'll help us out a lot. I look forward to talking to you guys again tomorrow when we're literally just hours away from tip-off. Like I said, make sure you follow me on Twitter. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace.